Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
The ancient metaphysicians of Greece and Egypt believed that illness was a result of ill thought patterns. I'm going to say that a couple times throughout the show today, so I thought I'd start out at the very beginning, because they believed that it was ill thought patterns that weren't in alignment with your soul's intentions. And as a result, a tension was created in a discordance, a disharmony, we call it, within the energy field, and that ultimately, over the course of time, if those thoughts weren't changed, then it would come in as a pre-illness in the energy body, and then ultimately could be illness in the body. So I decided to take that challenge on today to share about pre-illness and what it looks like energetically, because it's a topic very near and dear to my heart, and it's also a topic that, because I can literally see the aura, I get asked the question all the time. Well, thanks for joining me. I guess I should tell you who I am. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today I'm going to be talking about the energetics of illness and what can we do. The beauty of understanding that pre-illness in the energy body is something that we can deal with, and sometimes just as easily as changing our thoughts can change those ill patterns in our thinking that can ultimately affect our body. Once we start looking at illness from that energetic standpoint, it takes on a completely different perception and a completely different dynamics as far as how we're capable of influencing the health and well-being of the physical body. So a topic very near and dear to my heart, and I'm going to be sharing, because people are always saying to me, Carol, what does the aura look like? So I'm going to share that as well. In addition to all of that, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. Let's do it again, 877-230-3062. Well, whenever I start talking about energy, I have to really go back to the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are that we exist on two different levels, two different dimensions. We exist on the dimension of energy and then the dimension of matter. And I always start with energy because really we are energy. And as that energy forms and atoms and molecules come into play, and then the cells are created as a result of that vibration, then matter comes into play. So when we look at ourselves, and especially the health and well-being of our body, we really have to look at keeping both parts of who we are, that energy part and also that matter part of us, very, very healthy. And the human part of us always, because it's physical, because we can, you know, touch the physical body, we can feel what's going on in it. Whenever we go into that balancing or to eliminate the disharmony in the energy field or to be able to heal an illness, we naturally, instinctively, by our neurology, go in and we approach the healing process specifically from the body's needs. We have to start there, because if we don't start giving the body what it needs, then the mind's going to continue to fixate on what the problem is. And when it does that, then it's difficult for us to be able to step beyond our physicalness and what's going on and then look at ourselves energetically. That energy part of us is the part of us, that invisible part of us, but it is as real, if not even more so, especially in the dynamics of the healing process. It is more real than even the physical body. Think of the physical body as just being a mirror, kind of a reflection of what's happening energetically. The energy body actually surrounds and interpenetrates your physical body. It's vibrational in nature. It's a highly developed communication system that's in constant dialogue and between your mind, your body, and your soul. And we hear a lot about the word spiritual being used as soul, and it's used interchangeably. But in my world as a medical intuitive, that soul is literally the blueprint. It's the purpose of why our soul came into this physical form, to be able to find its physical expression. And we say it another way, so we can live our soul's purpose. But the energy body, the spiritual part, that energetic part of us, acts as kind of an interpreter and a liaison between the mind and what it thinks and the body and how it reacts or responds to what it thinks. Now, the soul works very close with the energy body, and in fact, the soul is the part of us that is always healthy. It's always in a repair mode, meaning the soul is always kind of acting like that train conductor to be sure that everything that where we want to get in our destination, everything is right to get to our destination is always in play. But when our mind takes over in our thought processes and it ruminates on old thoughts, those old thoughts create a stagnation in that energy body. And then ultimately over the course of time, if those thoughts aren't changed, then that stagnation builds up in the energy of the body, the physical body, and then ultimately it changes the chemistry and the way that the body is able to function. Now, that aura itself, there's been a lot of people say, Carol, what does it look like? Probably the easiest thing for us to just start to put information in our aura file that we have in our brain is it looks like a luminous vapor. I always liken it to when it rains on a hot day where you can see that steam, that white vapor just coming up off of that hot black top. And that's really what it looks like. Now, if you look beyond just that first aspect of what that vapor looks like and you start looking deeper into it, then you'll start to find that that vapor has a texture to it. It has actually, you know, is it thin like a cloud that's just wispy, or is it, you know, thick like a thunderhead cloud? And so the vapor itself has this texture about it. It has shape, and the aura has a very defined shape. The aura itself, many of the books that we read and where the instrumentation used to be on measuring it, that it's always portrayed that the aura is very close to the physical body. That is truth. The first layer is, but we now through instrumentation know that that aura can actually reach out in this vibrational vapor, as we're going to refer to it, 55 feet from your physical body. So that energetic aspect of who you are is always taking in energy carrying information, and the aura itself is really a buffer. So what happens outside is buffered. It's kind of like a filtration system where it's just filtered, and all the rhetoric and all the old patterns and other people's beliefs and other people's opinions and all this information gets filtered out to the point when by the time it actually enters into your energy body, the information has been cleansed to a point where it can be of value to you. The aura itself, because of the vibrational nature of it, the electromagnetic waves or the wave-like patterns, actually has a color about it. And each one of those different chakras, as they, you know, are referred to, they don't really create the aura, but they monitor it. They have different vibrational frequencies. When the vibrational frequency is low, then it takes on the color red. When it goes to very high, it takes on the color purple. So not only do we have this vapor, not only does it have this texture, does it have this size to it, but it also has all of these colors and varying vibrations. And those vibrations go from low frequency, megahertz, cycles per second, to very high. So your chakras are what keeps that, the all those different vibrational wave-like messages into some kind of a pattern so it doesn't cause harm to the physical body. So the purpose of the energy body is really to act as what I call a common interface through which we interact with everything. And that's everything we feel inside, all thoughts that we think and we keep inside, how we feel around other people and our experiences outside, and then the thoughts that are associated with what is happening outside. And once that information comes in and it goes through that filtering process, as long as we allow it to do that, meaning we don't get in our head and put ourselves in protection, then the energy body really acts as a lot like the immune system from the standpoint that it will allow the body to be able to, the energy body to sort out what are invaders and bacteria and could cause the body harm, similar to what our immune system does in its role, is to be able to monitor viruses and bacteria, environmental contaminants, to be sure that they don't come in and create any havoc in the physical body as well. So it's like we have two natural inherent defense systems. But what we do is so often we get into a situation where we have to protect ourselves. And I'm not talking about not using common sense. But when we focus our thoughts that, you know, Jane is going to come into our field and she's going to take all of our energy, Well, the truth is Jane doesn't come in and take all of our energy. We invited her in by trying to protect ourselves. And as a result, she takes the energy because we've taken this beautiful, exquisite field that's very large that acts as this wonderful buffering. And we've pulled it really close to us and compressed it up against our physical body. And it can't protect us the way that it's designed. So in effect, what we do is in the course of trying to protect, we actually create this compression, and we don't have the energy body doesn't have the capacity to be able to really act and serve as it's designed. When we get into situations, thoughts, other people's expectations, people that are demanding of us, our aura is literally this energy body, as I call it. The aura is literally like an accordion, going, coming, it's going out, it's coming back, it's going out. I always liken that when I use the description, kind of like the movie Finding Nemo, where the father was teaching Nemo that he had to be cautious of what was outside of his little home, the anemone, that he has to be cautious. It's not to be afraid, it's just to be wise and to be cautious. So in the movie, what the father did is he said to Nemo, you go out and you look around, and if what you see is not something that you're fearful of, then you can stay out. But what if you go out and there's something that you pick up energetically or you pick up through your physical senses that just doesn't feel right or it doesn't look right? You just go back into the anemone. What does that mean? Let your energy body do what it needs to. Go out, and it will check where everything is. It will use its buffering system. If it's safe, then you will be pushed into the movement, nudged, as I call it, into the movement of going out. But what if something in your intuition comes in, or it creates a tightness in your gut, or an anxiety, or it feels like your breath is being pulled away from you? What your energy body is going to do is it's going to pull you back, and it's going to keep you out of harm's way. It's a wonderful, exquisite tool. When we have pre-illness in the energy body, it isn't because we've put ourselves out there so much. In my world as a medical intuitive, it's because we've pulled ourselves in so much that we're taking this beautiful, big, giant energy being that we are, and we're trying to compress it in the small form of matter or our physical body. So when we go in and think of the aura, the reason that it starts as pre-illness is because the body, that energy body in its vibrational nature, is really designed to be able, kind of like the immune system again, where it's able to really go in and just do its job almost invisibly, seamlessly. We don't realize that our immune system is working 24/7, 365 while we're so busy doing everything else. The same holds true with the energy body itself. So again, it with this vibrational nature and these variables that we have within the frequency, that energy body in that pre-illness, anytime there's disharmony, that is literally the root of a pre-illness. That energy body is going to do everything that it can to restore vibrational harmony. And as a result, it will restore vibrational and physical health to the health to the physical body. So again, just a different way to look at it. I always say that we hear this cliche all the time from the physical body, you are what you eat, and how it affects the physical body. I want to tell you that from the energy body, there's another cliche, you're only as energetically healthy as the thoughts that you create. If those thoughts are healthy, that energy body remains healthy. Ultimately, that physical body will remain healthy. If your thoughts turn on yourself and they become ill thoughts, then as long as the mind ruminates on those ill thoughts, it causes that energy body, again, like the immune system, to not be able to do its job as well as it's actually defined. So there's a lot to think about when we're looking at the physical body, and the best place to start is looking at our thoughts. There's a lot of talk now that we create approximately 60,000 thoughts on a daily basis. I'm not sure when that daily basis starts, But if we're going to be, if we truly are having electrochemical changes in the brain based on sensory input from our five physical senses and then also the emotions that we feel, it's very difficult for us. I mean, it'd be a full-time job just trying to think about what our thoughts are all about. So what we can do to look at our thoughts to see if they're healthy or if they're not is we have to look at our patterns of behavior. How do we think? We'd love to all think that we're optimistic on every single level of life, but the reality is we have some pessimism based on the work we came here to do. What do I mean by that? We have thoughts that have been shared with us that are other people's opinions. Those people's opinions impact how we think about ourselves. And when we have those pessimistic attitudes come in about life or about ourselves or about the weather or about car drivers, whatever it may be, as insignificant as it may be, those pessimistic thoughts are really where we should go in and look at our life and saying, what can I do to change this? What can I control to change this? And the answer always comes back to, you can change your thoughts. What you control is your thoughts. So the easiest way to look for thoughts that can create pre-illness in the energy body is to go in and have to, and I don't usually say have to because I always avoid that word, but when I come to the healing aspect as a medical intuitive, if we could just shift our perception and go inside, and we have to go in and look at a willingness to go in and look at what in our life is not helping us stay healthy. And once we can find that, we don't even have to find the big part of it, but once we can find one little piece of that component and we change that, an avalanche occurs and the energy body all of a sudden goes from being really compressed against the physical body and it just whoosh, it goes way out to that 55-foot level. And I know, I can see that it's well beyond that. We just don't have the instrumentation to be able to track it. So when your body isn't feeling well, read your body. Where isn't it feeling well? And then go into those areas and remember your vibration, your energy first. And if you look at illness as a vibrational pre-illness, a disharmony in your energy field, it shifts the entire perception. I'm going to be talking in the next segment a little bit more about some of the other aspects of what can create this pre-illness. And when I say that, I think I want to go in and even clarify it more. Pre-illness is when we just get that aura as close to our physical body because we just have to be able to do what's right or to protect ourselves. I always say to people, if you could see what I see and you unzipped your physical body and you let your energy body out, you would be absolutely amazed that your human body can hold so much energy, so much vitality, so much enthusiasm, so much desire to be a part of life and to experience everything. You would look and you'd have a different perception of your body, and you'd look at your body and go, wow, good job that you can take all of this energy, pack it into this frame, this muscular structure, this skeletal structure, that you can pack all this in to the, really this little body. Because I always say to people, you ought to be at least 7'1", 7'2", 385 pounds, up to 425 pounds, depending on the nature and the vitality of your aura at the day that I get to touch it. But it's like, and then you look at yourself, and I've had people that are 5'1" that are, 105 pounds soaking wet. And when I say that to them, I said, let's shift the perception of your physical body. So I'm going to be talking about a few more of the other things that really will impact that pre-illness syndrome, as I call it, in the physical body, only to bring awareness to it. So then you can figure out how you can change your thoughts and some of the other things in order to create the vibrational health that you want so your body can create the physical health that you want. Okay, but I want to jump in. Let's go ahead and take Scott from Seattle. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Very good. How can I help you?
I was calling in. A friend told me about your show, and I have had a lot of physical issues over the last 3 years. I've worked with a few different people on nutrition and different things like that. I've had some good results until about the last 7 months. And I've developed some pretty severe inflammation in my joints,
Okay, well, let's take all of those issues and let's first of all narrow it down.
Okay.
And then that will give you a sense of the direction. And then, and thank you for being so open. You let me just go in and start traveling your body. I know that sounds really woo-woo, but it was very helpful for me. The primary area for you to focus your attention on is your immune system. Everything that you have going on in your physical body is tied to that immune system. The inflammation, the swelling that you have, the ease in which your body is bruising, the quality and texture of your skin, the thinness of your skin that you're experiencing, all of this is coming in back to the immune system itself. And when I go in, I'm going to go, let's see, I think, let me ask your body, 4.5 years ago, I'm just going to plant that seed. 4.5 years ago, your body started this process of the immune system started to turn on itself. And what that means is there was something 4.5 years ago. It feels like it was probably an environmental contaminant is what feels like. It feels like it could have been maybe petroleum base, or it had some kind of chemical base to it. And it came into your body. It feels like you inhaled it, and it could have come in through the pores of your skin as well. And what it's done is it came in, and all of a sudden your immune system overreacted to what it was reading, rightfully so. But what it did is the immune system started its inflammatory response. And as a result, it was doing its job. But the amount of contamination as quickly as it hit your body basically looks like it came in and your immune system didn't know when to shut down. That contamination that I'm picking up, and it feels like it's more bacteria than it is virus at this point in time based on what's going on, is that it triggered this inflammatory response and it just hasn't shut down. The swelling in your joints is good news. I know that you can't, you know, it doesn't feel that way.
Oh, it doesn't. I know.
I have to always take it, and you know, we need to honor both sides of the coin. But what that is saying to you, Scott, is that you're immune system is still actively involved. The swelling itself is a form of edema. It's a buildup of a fluid that is designed to cushion the joint so you don't go in and you don't damage the joints. The process is that because it puts so much pressure on the joints, they don't want to move. So the immune system gets really confused about what its job is. But the fact that the immune system is still doing what it's designed to do, and it hasn't become so fatigued that it isn't doing its job, is really a good news.
Okay.
There's some things. Focus on the immune system. Diet is something to really look at. The spleen that's tied to the immune system with the inflammatory response is directly tied to the liver. You will want to do liver things. Liver loves rainbow foods. The first food that the liver loves most is it loves greens. A real good natural liver cleansing that we can do is artichoke and asparagus. The greener the green, the better we are. The more it also increases red blood cell count. And then that gives the body the energy that it's looking for. Edgar Cayce would go in and would immediately say in his readings that what we need to do is we need to start castor oil packs on you. And you just go and get castor oil from any pharmacy, and you get some flannel, you put it on it, and you put it over the area where you have the swelling. And what that will do is it through the pores of the skin, because your body's trying to take what is irritating it inside and pushing it to the surface.
Okay.
And that's what the bruise is doing as well, is it's trying to bring it to the surface. Then, of course, you can look at rainbow diet is red, is greens, red, orange, and yellow fruits and vegetables. So all of those things you can do. The other thing, sweetie, has anybody ever talked to you about gluten intolerance?
Yes. Yeah, I know. I know that. Okay. I'm not supposed to eat that.
Yeah, and the only reason for that is that your body just reads it as an allergen.
Okay.
And it, you know, it isn't that it can cause you harm. It just, again, is another facet that your immune system goes in and goes, oh, this doesn't match what I need. So it goes in and that kind of quells the, triggers this inflammatory response. Cooling your gut is really important. You will want to, if you haven't done anything with Ayurvedic medicine, you might.
I do a lot with raw foods, actually.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Now, there's one thing that I can tell you. Your stomach feels a little sensitive to me. Raw foods is very good, but you will want to, at this point in time, probably for about the next 3 to 5 days, you might want to, if it's appropriate at all, either steam or soften or chew more or watch some of. You need the fiber aspect of it, but for some reason, your stomach feels like it's a little irritated as well.
I've been eating some things last week I probably shouldn't have, actually.
Okay. I don't even need to nag you. I'm not going to even nag you. Then let's just go back to where it was. But again, just think about all those things as being a potential allergen. And that's what you want to do, is you want to minimize the inflammatory response based on allergen.
Okay.
The other thing is that, are you working with a doctor at all?
I am. I'm seeing an acupuncturist and a lady who does nutrition therapy, so it's kind of based on the issues that she's finding. She uses applied kinesiology to find those issues and then addresses it with nutritional supplements.
Okay. And one of the things is, does she do any kind of saliva testing or hair follicle testing?
She does a number of different tests. She can. We've done some. We've done an adrenal test, for example, which is a saliva test. And,
okay.
That's another test like that as well.
Would you ask her to either muscle test or find a way to find out where your liver enzymes are? They're slightly elevated.
Okay.
I'm not concerned. That wasn't a concern statement.
Okay.
If it was, I would tell you to go to a doctor and get a blood panel done.
Okay.
But what it is my sense is the liver, that when the liver enzymes increase to any degree or to a lot, it is an indicator that the inflammatory response is kind of got a hold of us. And so she might be able to do something like that. The other thing is that ice packs would help. They also tell the brain to release an endorphin that's about 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen. It's a natural way to be able to do that. One of the things that it feels like that heat can have some helpfulness to you. But at this point in time, if you are using heat, ask again your practitioners, but you might want to avoid heat because for some reason it feels like that triggers it a little bit more where it is right now, and you might want to consider ice. Epsom salt bath can work. Your acupuncturist, if you could ask your acupuncturist to, let me ask questions first. That's the best way to do it. In regards to the foot itself with the bruise, is the acupuncturist working with needles at all in that foot?
She's done just in between the toe. Now, there's no more bruising at this point. It's just swelling now.
Yeah,
but
I still have that. I still have the presence of it energetically. I can still feel a buildup of energy and almost a buildup of a blood at that point in time, maybe not on the surface. So one of the things is that I can go and again, not trying to tell her to do her job, but I can pick up if she used needles on the inside of your ankle and on the outside of your knee and on your opposite hip. And then on your opposite shoulder, what she would do is she would start pulling the chi back in a way that's going to start putting you back in balance, physically back in balance. And then from the anatomical standpoint, and then I think that balance energetically, you'll feel like you're standing tall. You'll feel like you're standing on your own 2 feet. It'll have a lot of psychological implications in it.
Will she know what points you mean by that, inside of the ankle, outside of the knee?
Say again?
Know what you mean by that, inside of ankle?
Yeah, just ask her. Just tell her that you talked to a medical intuitive.
Okay.
And that I have picked up energy buildup as protrusions or blockages inside ankle, outside knee, opposite hip, opposite shoulder. And what it is it's just trying to pull the chi back. It's from the ankle to the knee over to the opposite hip, so it's like it energetically adjusts you like a chiropractor would. And then once we get that hip adjusted, then it'll get that shoulder adjusted, and then I can feel your spine start to fall right into place.
Okay.
And that'll skeletally help you, and it'll help you energetically with the balance as well.
Okay. Can I ask two quick questions?
Yes.
So as I work on this stuff, do you get the sense that it's actually going to heal? Because I've really started struggling emotionally and with my beliefs that this is actually going to get better.
Yes. Yes, I think yes, it will get better. I'm not sure, honestly, and I would be remiss if I didn't say it, that it isn't going to require you going and running series of tests and working with someone, a rheumatologist or someone. And the only reason I say that, Scott, is that I can feel that you have a form of a rheumatology within your family. And we just want to be sure that that gene hasn't been activated, that RA factor in the blood, that antibody has not been initiated or triggered.
And if it is that something that requires more Western medical help?
Yes, it'll require looking at your options and both options and then figuring out what to do.
Okay. And then the second thing was you had been talking a lot about thoughts and emotions in the relationship.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you go back 4.5 years when you have a chance to think about it, what hit you, and that's what it feels like, gave it to you physically, what hit you in a relationship kind of jarred you, and it brought up a lot of old emotions. The gift of what you're doing is you're going in and you're sorting out who you are, what you want for a relationship. You're learning more about your inner needs, your intimacy. You're going to let go of some emotions around being this beautiful, peaceful warrior you are while you embody this male body with all these external expectations around you. You're just getting comfortable in your skin, hon.
Great.
We all hold deep-seated resentment in our butt. And we hold disappointment in ourselves in our shoulders.
Thank you.
And the work you've done is in both of those. It's my pleasure. Thank you for calling me. And please thank your friend for sharing my work as well.
Yeah.
All right. Light and love to all of you. I'm going to be back. Now, that sounds like it's like I'm done. I'm not done. I'm going to be right back and talk more about the second aspect of what really affects the pre-energy aspect of illness in our body. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back. Thank you very much.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
ContactTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Ralph Waldo Emerson said, there was never anything that did not precede a thought. Well, welcome back and thanks for joining me. If you are just joining me, the topic of today's show is how illness develops energetically. And in the last segment, I talked a lot about energy. What does it look like? How our thoughts impact it. But what I want to do in this segment is I'm going to talk about emotions. You heard from my first caller, Scott, is that all of us want to know, okay, so we're dealing with the physical body. We know about changing our thoughts. What can we do about about the emotions. And the gift of illness, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but the gift of illness is that illness brings an awareness that something inside that we're feeling, or maybe we've buried for a while, just needs to kind of bubble to the surface. So that's what I'm going to be talking about in this segment. I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. Also, just a reminder that my June free Your Health teleclass is going to be taking place on June 24th. That's at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The topic for the month of June is back pain. I'm going to be talking about back pain, just not from the injuries that we normally associate with back pain, but I'm going to look at a lot of different things that can occur, degenerative diseases, plantar fasciitis, and then also inflammation of the nerve. So I'm going to be looking at back pain from a variety of perspectives. And like always, I'm going to be sharing some of those deep psychological meanings behind the different things that affect us, affect our back, you know, standing on our own two feet, stepping forward, bringing our voice to be heard. There's a whole bunch of metaphors that are associated with back pain, so I'm going to be sharing that. And then also, what does it look like energetically? How does it map in the chakra system? And then, as always in my teleclasses, a lot of suggestions of what we can do, both from a conventional standpoint. I am not anti-medicine. I am not anti-doctor, but I also include that aspect of that conventional approach, but I also do a lot of research to talk about what can we do from an alternative perspective or therapies that can help us and assist us in the way that our body heals. So that's going to be, again, June 24th, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. It is a free teleclass. The teleclass is 60 minutes in length. The only call cost would be your long-distance calls, if that applies to you. And then what I always do following the teleclass is I go in and I spend about 20 to 30 minutes answering questions, just the same way I'm doing on my radio show. If you are interested in registering, you can register and tell a friend they can register. Just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then there'll be an icon on the right hand side of my page that says teleclass. Click on that, register. You'll get a confirmation of the numbers to call. And then I will be recording, like I do all of my teleclasses, I will be recording it, and I create a printable PDF on the topic. In fact, my May teleclass, which was on headaches, is actually posted at this time. Again, looking at a variety of different headaches and triggers and so forth. So again, hope that you'll join me if you're suffering from back pain. An interesting statistic, almost scary, truthfully, is that over the age of 45, 85% of most Americans will suffer from some form of back pain, whether it's just an acute situation where it just occurs and then it goes away, or whether it becomes chronic back pain. So again, I hope that you'll join me, www.ritberger.com. When I go in and I look at the energy body and I look at the health and well-being of it, I really have to go in, and the energy body is so exquisite. It talks. It basically tells, not someone like myself that can see it or intuitively connect with it, or in the case of an acupuncturist, they can actually work with those inner meridians, that vascular autonomic system. People that do Reiki can do it. There's a lot of wonderful healing modalities associated with that energy body. But when I look at that energy body, it is so exquisite. It immediately tells us, all of us that are able to do it, and you in your own being a medical intuitive, what's happening at a physical level. It can tell you what's happening in your thoughts if you look at your patterns of behavior, your comfort zones, that pessimistic aspect that we all have some little bit about us, even though we don't want to admit it. It's very, very real. We can look at that. But it also goes in and tells us a lot about where we are emotionally. In the first segment, I talked to Scott, and I said that in the lower back is where we hold deep-seated resentment. And that deep-seated resentment really has to do with the resentment we hold toward other people or situations or the experiences in our life that aren't always as pleasant as we would like them to be. We just, maybe we wanted to go out and do something fun, but gosh, we had to finish a project. Resentment comes in a lot of different forms. So when we have that resentment build up in the lower back, it literally tightens up that lumbar sacrum part of the spine, that sacroiliac joint, that pelvic girdle, and it tightens it up. And we just kind of plant our feet and doggone it, we're just not going to do this anymore. We're not going to engage anymore. And then we find ourselves doing it. I talked about the shoulders. The right shoulder is where we hold grief. The left shoulder is where we hold disappointment. In fact, my book, Healing Happens With Your Help, The Hidden Meaning Behind Illness, is something that if you don't have it, you might be interested in purchasing it. You can do it on hayhouse.com or you can do it on amazon.com. And what it does is it actually maps these emotions that we all have to some degree, more or less, depending on the situation. And it maps it not only in the muscle structure, it maps it in the organs and then in the endocrine glands. So it's like getting a chart that says, okay, if I have a left shoulder problem, here's the emotions that are carried in those areas. So we can work at it energetically, doing energetic release work. We can go in and we can look at our thoughts. We can change our thoughts. Maybe we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulder. That's our thought pattern. Maybe we feel bad about ourselves and disappointed because we're doing it. That's the emotional pattern. And then the soul is basically saying, where do you want to start? You want to start at the energy body? Just see the chi running through that. See that buildup of energy is melting away like butter on a hot plate. Just visualizations and a lot of tools. Affirmations, very, very important. So again, when you look at emotions, it's important for you to remember we are emotional beings. And in fact, the pituitary gland, the master gland of the endocrine system reads emotions. It isn't so much what happens chemically within us, it's to some degree, but the reality is what creates the trigger of the endocrine glands is that pituitary gland, and that pituitary gland reads thoughts and emotions. Positive emotion, negative emotion, ill thoughts, healthy thoughts. And it literally sends the message to all endocrine glands that you need to either go into fight or flight, we have a problem, or, whoa, this is good, it's a party, everything is healthy and well. Our body reflects that, as does our energy body. When I really look at emotions, the most destructive emotion that really connects us from our soul's intention is the emotion of anger. It would be very helpful in the healing process that we find a constructive way to be able to deal with anger and not suppress it. You know, that's, I always say, and people kind of look at me again a little strange, but I always say it's better to get anger out than it is to keep it in. Anger causes us to turn on ourselves. Turning on ourselves causes us to be disappointed, irritated with ourselves. And Edgar Cayce said that one cannot remain healthy if one is angry with oneself. So again, self-directed anger is a very, very much of a poison energetically and to the physical body. So find a constructive way to get that anger out. When I was doing my child psychology training and so forth, we were working with anger issues with children, and we used to have this clown that was weighted at the bottom, funniest looking thing there was. It was rubber, it was squishy, it's full of air. And when a child displayed any kind of anger, then what it was is the child would go in and punch the clown. But the clown would fall. First of all, it was quite humorous. The clown would fall back, but the clown always came back up. And what it did is it helped the child find a way for the child to be able to vent that anger, but also it added the element of humor. When we take anger outside of ourselves and we look at it, really we become very, it's almost pitiful. And we look at it from a completely different light. So there's a lot of tools that are out there to help with anger and anger management. We certainly don't want to go around and share the wealth of anger with other people. However, I will tell you that it is better to find a constructive way to get it out than it is to keep it in. Because what it does is it's like it just builds up, and then our body has to find ways in order to get rid of it. And sometimes that comes in the form of aches and pains, or it comes in the form of illness. And it can come in the form of autoimmune disorders or degenerative diseases. So again, just a different way to look at everything. So if you really think of any kind of illness in the body, as pre-illness in the energy body, then what you can do is you can look for ways that you can engage in, you feel comfortable with, and that you can start putting in your daily activities. So lots of food for thought. And what I'm going to do is I want to try to squeeze one more call in. Hi, Candy. Hi, sweetie. Thanks for calling me back this week. Did your mom get to the doctor?
Yeah, but they didn't do anything.
Okay.
They can't pinpoint where the dizziness is coming from.
Okay. So, sweet, tell me what they did. Did they look for a series of tests that they want to do with her?
One guy was going to do I'm not sure what it's called, if there's like a calcium little, like almost like a kidney stone in the ear tube.
Okay.
He was going to do a motion on that, but it wasn't that.
Okay.
The good news is,
excuse me for interrupting you, sweetie, when they go through their series of tests, even though, you know, I understand with your mom not even wanting to be there, bless her heart, but when they go through a series of tests and they think it's something and then it isn't, that is really good news. And I know it's uncomfortable going through it. Okay, so did you, honey, talk to them about the fall that your mother had?
I've told 3 different people she's got spine, shoulder, you know, neck, and head injuries, and no one wants to listen.
Okay. So don't give up. We still need to do that.
Right. Can you see where the dizziness is coming from and what modalities might help?
I can. That I can do. I will continue to have you talk to a doctor only because of where your mother is with the concern, but let's go in. Where where she hit her head was back in the cerebellum area. It feels like it was just above, I would say above the ear, but behind the ear. And what it did is that it, first of all, jarred the skull to the point where, and I say this with love, her head isn't on straight. Her spine is trying to compensate to keep that brain in the skull the way it needs to. Her jaw is even off. So what it is there's in that part of it, it can put pressure in that part of the brain, which could cause the inner ear dizziness. It can also impact the cerebellum, which is part of the motor skills. That's also tied to some of the balance aspect of it. So that's where I'm getting where it's been, where the injury is and what is causing some of these issues that she's dealing with. But let's step outside of the traditional field and let's look at it a different way. One of the things that would be worthwhile if she does not have any fear of needles is acupuncture would be very good for her. Acupressure would be good for her. Also craniosacral would be good for her. Working with a chiropractor that does non-force adjustments, meaning not so much the cracking of the spine. Oops, I just got a big hit on that one, so let me go in and take it a different direction. Before you have a chiropractor, actually work with her, even in a non-force way. We need to have an x-ray done of the spine itself so the chiropractor knows what they're working on. So one or two things, sweetie. Find a chiropractor that can do x-rays or go to an orthopedic doctor and then get the x-rays so we can find exactly what's going on and then ask for those x-rays if you decide to work with a chiropractor and then take those x-rays. The chiropractor needs to see the injuries that your mother has in the spine. I've got an old injury in the hip. I've got some injuries in the cervical part of the neck, part of the spine, and we just need them to know what's there before you get the adjustment. It would work for you. You could look at Rolfing. You could look at Alexander technique. You might look at Bowen technique. All of those, you might want to also look at some Reiki to help get the energy where it needs to. All of those things would be of value to your mom to just kind of help her get back into her spine, get that skeletal structure where it needs to. And that will take some of it feels the pressure off of the muscles, specifically the ligaments and tendons. So those are some things that you can look at that would be able to help her. Now, having said all that, would it be of value to you if I categorize them for you to do your research and then to discuss with your mother what would be of value?
I believe everything you say. I mean, the doctors have no clue, so
yeah.
Tell me what you can.
So the very first thing that I would encourage you to go and start working with is an acupuncturist. And what that will do is that will start relieving some of the tension of the chi that is building up with her, that's building up in her energy body and building up in her muscles. That's where I would begin first.
So that's the first thing to do. We should do these in certain steps.
Well, I just gave you a lot of information, and I just want to offer you a suggestion of where to start. And the reason I'm saying it this way is, and the reason I'm not telling you, Candy, exactly where to go, sweetie, is you've got a wonderful ability to heal within you. You have a wonderful magnificence of a healer. You have the opportunity to use this as a tool for you to look at a lot of modalities, to become familiar with them, to be able to be of service to other people. Your mom is your gift, but sweetie, you're a healer. So I go in. First and foremost, I would like you to study acupuncture. I would like you to study acupressure. I would like you to study craniosacral. And then when you go back, this show will be in my archives probably on Friday. You can go back and listen to all the things that I've shared with you. And from there, you can pick and choose which ones that connect with you. Because what you're doing, the gift of your mom, is we're putting together a protocol, sweetie, for you to have in your toolbox when you decide that you're going to start looking at how can you be of service to other people, honey. This is a gift. This is why I'm not telling you. This is what you do.
I've wanted to do that for a while. I just haven't been able to afford to go and do that.
And you know what? Your bucket's pretty full, sweetie. And your connection with your mom, this is a wonderful place. I know that sounds strange as heck. I'm into strange as heck comments today.
I understand what you say. I understand everything.
But I'll tell you, it's a gift for both of you. And one of the things, if the doctors don't listen, ask the doctors for an x-ray of her spine. Ask for a recommendation to see a neurologist. And that's the direction that you go with allopathic medicine. The dizziness they're looking for, they're associating with an inner ear issue. This is a dizziness because we have a spine that isn't aligned. We have a skull bowl, as I call it, that isn't in alignment. And going into the inner ear is a good place to start because it at least checks it off the list.
So get an x-ray, see a neurologist, and go to an acupuncturist.
Yep. And do it twofold. And the twofold has to be because your mom is getting so frustrated with this. I can feel her. She's just like a, you know, cat on a hot tin roof. She just wants to get on with her life. My gosh, she's been independent for a long time. The last thing she wants to do is just get kind of knocked off her kilter on this. But it's going to require both ways. And that's where I would send you to a doctor. I'd say, let's go to a neurologist. And then let's go in and have the neurologist ask for an MRI of the spine, the skull, the brain, the whole bit, see what we're dealing with.
Oh, thank you so much. That definitely helps.
You are welcome. And you know what? Thanks for calling me back. Because when I hung up, I said to Rebecca, oh, my gosh, I had so much more to say to her. So I hope that the gift today is that you're a healer, and it was worth the price of admission just to call back for that one, sweetie.
Thank you so much, Carol.
You are so welcome. All right. So what can I close this show with? My gosh, that was a wonderful way to do it. But you know, the main thing I can say to you is that while we can't touch energy, and because it is that non-visible part of us, don't rule it out. Try different modalities that can work with that energy part of it. And then also with yourself, do a little bit of study around how can you balance your chakras. One of the wonderful ways that you can put harmony back into your body and an energy standpoint, if your body will allow you and the flexibility, is Qigong. Qigong is a wonderful way for us to be able to come back and really put ourselves in alignment. Tai Chi, a very mindful, again, balancing process of it. So those are some of the things. You know, and the other part of it is when your soul talks to you in your dreams or it talks to you in your intuition, you know, let's just spend a little bit of time, a few minutes a day or whatever it may be, but your soul will always tell you what you need at an energetic level. Sometimes it'll say that you just need to get up off your bottom and you need to go out and play. What it's saying is that you've got too much much energy buildup. You're worrying too much in your second chakra. Your fear of survival is too much, got too much of a hold on you. Get outside. The world looks very, very different at that period of time. So again, lots of different ways to look at it. Don't let your mind immediately override what your soul is saying to you by nagging you about you what you should do. Anytime you hear, you should do this, then you put your fingers in your ears like a little tiny kid and you go, la, 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 la. Thanks so much for joining me. If you do want to re-listen to this show, it will be available in my archives on www.ritberger.com, 24/7, 365. Thanks for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure. All of you that called me, light and love, and I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to the Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.